First Kings, in the chapter 1. Our text is found in Matthew. You turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 12. Because the Lord Jesus there spoke about Solomon. And in Matthew 12, in verse 42, the Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. I want to take those words this morning as we consider the life of Solomon. I want to take those words, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Matthew here records that on a particular day, certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees came to the Lord and said, Master, we would see a sign from thee. The Lord responded by telling them about Jonah, being 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And then he said, behold, a greater than Jonas is here. You see, he was teaching them that when they would see him raised from the dead, that he was the only sign that they needed. Christ was the only sign they needed. Yes, Jonah was in the fish's belly for 3 days and 3 nights. The Lord said, but I will be in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights, and I will conquer death and the grave and live again. Behold, a greater than Jonas is here. But the Savior was not finished teaching those scribes and Pharisees, for he reminded them about the Queen of the South and how she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Then the Lord said, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The Lord was teaching them that the Queen of the South was prepared, as the Lord said, to travel from the uttermost parts of the earth to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. And the Lord is saying to them, you will not even take one step and come to me, even though a greater than Solomon is here. That's why the Lord said, the Queen of the South will rise up in the judgment and will condemn you, because she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And you'll not even take a step and come to me. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. That's what I want to look at today in the light of what we have read in 1 Kings and chapter 1. Because here in 1 Kings chapter 1 we're told about Solomon and about how he would become king after David. But in looking at this portion of scripture, I want us to see how Christ is greater than Solomon. First of all, we look at the person of the king. The person of the king. As we look at Israel's third king, let us consider his person. And the best place to begin is to look at his names. So we will be reminded of the words, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here." When we look at the names of the third king of Israel, we will see the greatness of Christ. Let us look then at the name Solomon. We are told that Bathsheba, his wife, David's wife, bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. 2 Samuel 12, verse 24. He called his name Solomon. Now we know that names in the Bible are usually very significant. They're given for a reason. And Solomon's name is no exception. For the name Solomon means peace. And the Lord promised David that his son's reign would be one of peace and of rest. Turn, please, to 1 Chronicles, chapter 22. There in 1 Chronicles, in chapter 22, and there in verse 9, "Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon. And I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days." So the Lord said that Solomon would be a man of rest. His name means peace. And through him, Solomon, or through him, Israel, would be given peace, quietness, and rest. Two words stand out there in that verse, describing Solomon. One word is peace, that's the meaning of his name. And the other word is rest. "Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest." So Solomon will be a man of peace, and Solomon will be a man of rest. And during his reign, Israel would know peace and rest. Now there may be political peace and rest, military peace and rest, social peace and rest during the reign of Solomon. But what about spiritual peace and rest? Or what about peace and rest for the soul? Peace and rest for the heart? Peace and rest for the conscience? See, that's what brings Christ into view now. There would be peace and rest for Israel under the reign of Solomon. But Solomon could not give peace and rest of mind or of heart or of soul or of conscience. "Behold, a greater than Solomon is he." Because only Christ can give such peace and rest. And speaking of himself, the Lord said, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is he." He who is greater than Solomon is the one who gives peace that no one else can give. For didn't he say, John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace. So there's a divine peace. There's the peace of God. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That was a peace that Solomon could never give. That's right, the one who is greater than Solomon can give peace that is not found in this world or 10,000 worlds. That is not found in Solomon or 10,000 Solomons. It's a peace and a rest that only Christ can give the one who is greater than Solomon. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, he's called the Lord of peace. Isaiah 9 verse 6, he's called the Prince of peace. Hebrews 7 and verse 2, he's the King of Salem, which is the King of peace. Philippians 4 verse 7, the peace that he is able to give is the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Solomon could never give that peace. That's why Christ says, a greater than Solomon is he. For our King of peace is able to still the tempest and give peace. He's able to stem the tide and give peace. He's able to stop the tears and give peace. Something which Solomon could never do. But then, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And what about the other word? The word rest. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest. His name means peace. And he shall be a man of rest. We have seen how Christ gives the peace that Solomon could never give. And Christ gives a rest that Solomon could never give. Matthew 11 verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Psalm 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. So we have seen just in Solomon's names that Christ is greater than Solomon. As well as the name Solomon, we also have his name Son. David referred to Israel's next king as his son. Solomon, my son. Verse 33 of 1 Kings 1. The king also said unto them, take with you the servants of your Lord and cause Solomon, my son, to ride upon my mule and bring him down to Gihon. So here is Solomon, and he's referred to as the son of David. That's a familiar name. That's a familiar title. Because Christ is called the son of David. The one who is greater than Solomon had this title also in his humanity, being of David's line. You turn to Matthew chapter 1. And there in Matthew 1, where we have the genealogy of Christ, Matthew 1 and verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. So Christ is called the son of David, just as Solomon is called the son of David. You go down Matthew 1 to verse 6. And Jesse begat David the king, And David the king begat Solomon. Solomon of her that had been the wife of Darius. You go on down to verse 16. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. And so we begin in the verse of the chapter, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David. And we get to verse 16, Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So here we have two individuals, both called the son of David. So what is it that makes the one greater than the other? Solomon was the natural son of David and Bathsheba. Christ is the supernatural son of God. Joseph, the husband of Mary, we know was not the father of Jesus Christ. God is his father. Luke 1, verses 31 to 35. And there we read that God is the father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him unto him the throne of his father David. He's the son of David, but he's the son of the highest. He's the son of God. Solomon was never called the son of God. Solomon was never called the son of the highest, but Jesus Christ was. And Jesus Christ is greater than Solomon, because he is not just the son of David, he's the son of God. He's the son of the highest. Looking at his person, we've noticed Solomon and the son. We next look at the sovereign. David assured Bathsheba that Solomon would become Israel's king after David's death. Look at verse 30. Even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day. Verse 35. Then ye shall come up after him, that he may come and sit upon my throne. For he shall be king in my stead. And I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. Here is another example of how Christ is greater than Solomon. David has assured Bathsheba, Solomon shall be king in my stead. When we compare these words with what we have in Matthew chapter 2, we have the wise men coming and seeking Christ. And in Matthew 2 and verse 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Say, what did they say? Where is he that is born king of the Jews? Notice the significance in those words. David told Bathsheba that Solomon shall be king in my stead. Shall be. In other words, after my death, Solomon will become king. But the wise men, when they sought Christ, they came saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? That makes Christ greater than Solomon. Because you see, Solomon would become king, but Jesus Christ is king. Solomon would become king, but Christ would be born king. No man is ever born king. He's born into the world and then he waits to become king. And that's what makes Christ different from Solomon. That's what makes Christ greater than Solomon. Solomon had a wait to become king, but Jesus Christ was born king. He was king in his birth. He was king throughout his life. And he was king in his death. Luke 23, verse 38, a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Notice also something else that David said about Solomon in that verse 35. He shall be king in my stead. In other words, Solomon would become king after David. There would be someone on the throne of Israel before Solomon would occupy the throne. In fact, two others occupied the throne in Israel before David occupied it. Saul was Israel's first king, then David, then Solomon. And so really, Solomon was Israel's third king. That's what David is emphasizing. He shall be king in my stead. In other words, Solomon would become king after David. But Christ had no one who was king before him. You turn, please, to Zechariah. Turning to Zechariah. There in the chapter 9. Zechariah 9 and verse 9. Rejoice greatly. Here's a prophecy regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, regarding his coming. Notice how he's described. Zechariah 9, verse 9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh. Unto thee, he is just, and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. That's how the Lord rode into Jerusalem, you recall. But the point we want to take note of here is that Jesus Christ is called King before he comes into the world as the Son of Mary. He's already king, you see. There's no one who was king before him. He is the King of glory. There's no King of glory before him. He is the King of heaven. There's no King of heaven before him. So Solomon had two kings before him, but Jesus Christ, there were no kings before him. That makes Jesus Christ greater than Solomon. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is King alone. First and last, there's none before him. So we have considered something of the person. Now I want to consider the preparation of the king. David here speaks about the preparation before Solomon sat upon the throne, before Solomon took his father's place. David gave instructions regarding how his son was to be prepared and what preparations there were to be undertaken before Solomon became king. And looking at this preparation, we not only see Solomon, but we also see Christ. Because they're greater than Solomon. I want us first of all to consider the king and the mule. Verse 33 of 1 Kings 1. The king also said unto them, take with you the servants of your Lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon my own mule, and bring him down to Gihon. We are told that this they did, for we read in verse 38, and Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, and the Kerethites and the Pelethites went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. You might say, well, what's so significant about that? Well, here is this mule, and it's called David's mule. Evidently, David had ridden upon this mule before. Now, before anyone can ride a mule, the mule, or indeed a horse, we know needs to be what is termed, needs to be broken in. And I was talking to Sammy McAnally during the week there and asking him all about breaking in a horse, because he did that for some time. And he says, that's right. He says, you don't get on a horse or a mule before it has been broken in. It'll just throw you off immediately. So here was Solomon, or here was David's mule. It was a mule he had ridden before. Now we return to Mark chapter 11. Mark 11. There we read in the opening verses. Chapter 11 of Mark, verse 1. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man set. Loose him and bring him. A colt, whereon never man set. So here is an animal, here is a beast of burden that had never been broken in, never man sat on. That colt, that animal was to be used by the Lord. when he would ride into Jerusalem. Now go down the chapter of the Mark chapter 11, verse 4. And they went their way, and they found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him, and they brought him to Christ. And look at verse 7. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. The colt was completely surrendered and submitted itself to the will of Christ. In other words, the colt didn't need to be broken beforehand. Christ was able to sit on that colt and it didn't throw him off. The Lord sat upon the colt upon which never man sat. What does that make Christ? Makes him greater than Solomon. Solomon could never have sat on a colt or a mule that had not been broken in, would have thrown them off. And so instead they got an old mule that David had already ridden and had already been broken in. Christ sat upon this colt upon which never man sat. You know what that makes Christ? That makes him greater than Solomon. Because that beast of burden is completely surrendered to the will of Christ. Didn't throw him off. And it went exactly where the Lord wanted that animal to go. You think of the Lord Jesus. The Lord is the one who controls the beasts of the field. He controls the birds of the air because he caused the ravens to come and feed Elijah. He controls the very fish of the sea. The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. He controls the winds and the seas. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. He's greater than Solomon. We see that not only in the mule and the king and the mule. But we look again and we see the king and his men. Going back again to 1 Kings chapter 1. Look there at verse 34. Here the instruction again is given by David in preparation for Solomon to become king. And read verse 34. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel. And blow ye with the trumpet and say, God save King Solomon. You notice, let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him their king. Did you notice something? Three offices are mentioned there. There's the office of priest, the office of prophet, and the office of king. Zadok was the priest, Nathan was the prophet, Solomon was the king. But when Solomon needed a priest to be there, and he needed a prophet to be there, if he was to be king, Jesus Christ holds all three offices. He is prophet, he is priest, and he is king. What does that make Christ? That makes the Lord Jesus Christ greater than Solomon. The only office that Solomon could hold was king. He couldn't be priest and he couldn't be prophet. But Jesus Christ is prophet. Jesus Christ is priest. And Jesus Christ is king. Matthew 13 verse 57. He referred to himself. The Lord referred to himself as prophet. Hebrews 5 verse 6. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So there's prophet, there is priest, and of course Christ is king. That makes him greater than Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is he. We press on. We've seen the king and the mule. We've seen the king and his men. Next we have the king and the message. What was the message? Well, again, this is all to do with the preparation of Solomon becoming king. Look at verse 34 again. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him their king over Israel. And blow ye with the trumpet and say. Here's the message. God save King Solomon. That was the message that was to be broadcast. God save King Solomon. When we look at those words, we are reminded once again of the one who's greater than Solomon. For while the message was God save King Solomon, there's a greater message than that with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. The message that we love to declare is our God is King and he does the saving. God save King Solomon. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is Savior. Jesus Christ is King. And what's the result? Well, the meaning of Solomon. Peace. The Lord Jesus Christ is God, Christ is King, Christ is Savior. That's why we love to repeat the Lord's own words are greater than Solomon is he. These words were used, or to be used, when Solomon became king. God save King Solomon. But our king doesn't need saving. Because our King is Savior. He alone is Savior. Behold, the greater than Solomon is here. But there's something else. You turn to 1 Samuel. And 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel 10, now we read in verse 24. And Samuel said to all the people, see ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that Saul. The Lord hath chosen Saul. And Samuel said to all the people, see ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. God save the king. Or, as we have it in our reading, God save King Solomon. The words are the same. With the exception of Solomon's name. God save the king, or God save King Solomon. The meaning of those words, God save the king, the meaning of those words is, let the king live, or long live the king. That's what really the people were saying, long live the king. That's what the people were to say when Solomon became king. Lord, long live the king. Long live King Solomon. Well, when we look at those words, we again see Christ greater than Solomon. The desire of the people would be that King Solomon would live long. But then, regarding Solomon, his life would come to an end. However long he may live, his life and his reign would come to an end. But not so our king. No, our king, sure our king lives forever. Sure our king shall reign forever. To his reign and his kingdom there is no end. That makes Christ greater than Solomon. Look at Revelation 15. For there in Revelation 15, we read in verse 3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thy King of saints. That's true. Christ is King of saints. We're one of his saints. He's our King. But there's something more there. Thy King of saints. The word saints there in that verse means ages. So now it may be read, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of ages. He's the King of ages. In other words, he'll always be king. He'll never be dethroned. No one else will take King Jesus' throne. He lives in the power of an endless life. Unlike Solomon, whose life would come to an end. Unlike Solomon, whose reign would come to an end. But not so Christ. Psalm 102, verse 27, we read, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Unlike Solomon. Indeed, unlike every other king. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever shall reign forever. Revelation 1 verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And we can add our amens. Our King shall live forever. And greater than Solomon is he. We've seen the person of the king, the preparation for the king. Then we have the presentation of the king. After the preparation, it was now time to present Solomon as Israel's king in David's stead. Verse 35. Then you shall come up after him, that he may come and sit upon my throne, for he shall be king in my stead. And I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. That leads us to see, first of all, the anointing of the king. He would be anointed king. David had given instruction for Solomon to be anointed. Verse 34, let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him their king over Israel. He was to be anointed. This anointing of Solomon as king, we see again the one who is greater than Solomon. Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet were to anoint him. They were to take a horn of oil. And that oil was to be poured upon Solomon, acknowledging him and anointing him as king. First of all, a horn in the Bible is the symbol of power. It's a symbol of power. Oil in Scripture is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we can see that Solomon had power as king of Israel. But the one who is greater has all power. Solomon's power was limited. Christ's power is unlimited. In Ephesians 1, and there in verse 19, Ephesians 1, 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Speaking of Christ, as you'll see from the context. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? The exceeding greatness. You take that word, exceeding greatness. The word greatness means power that is beyond measure. That's what the word means. Power that is beyond measure. That's the power Christ has. It is power beyond measure, while Solomon's power was limited power. Christ's power is beyond measure. We read in Psalm 45 and verse 7 about Christ being anointed. God thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness. Mark the words. Above thy fellows. So while Solomon was anointed as king of Israel and given power over Israel and Judah, Christ's anointing was above his fellows. Above Solomon, above David, above Saul, and above every other king. That makes Christ greater than Solomon. And you recall what the Lord said when he commenced his ministry in Luke 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me. Christ is the one who is anointed. Acts 10, verse 38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. We have also not only the anointing of the king, the ambition for the king. Verse 36, then Ananias the son of Jehoiada answered the king and said, Amen, the Lord God of my Lord the king. Save soul too. in verse 37, as the Lord hath been with my Lord the King. This was Benaniah's ambition for Solomon. This is what he wanted for Solomon. As the Lord hath been with my Lord the King, even so be he with Solomon. Listen, and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David. That was Benaniah's ambition for Solomon. He wanted Solomon's throne to be even greater than David's. He wanted Solomon to be a greater king than David. His ambition, his prayer for Solomon was, make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David. That prayer was certainly answered. But Christ's throne greater than Solomon's. Whatever Benaniah desired for King Solomon, Christ's throne is greater. So we read in Acts 7, verse 49, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. That's greater than Solomon. Solomon ruled over Israel and Judah. But Christ's throne is in heaven. And all earth is his footstool. He rules over all the earth, all nations, all tongues, all people. He's greater than Solomon. And then finally you have the adoration of the king. In verse 39, Zadok the priest took the horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. Then blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon. And all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. That was some thanksgiving. It was nothing to the adoration that is given to Christ. And we read in Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10, about how a great host, a great multitude, which no man number, worship and praise and glorify King Jesus. That again makes Christ greater than Solomon. And he's our King. Praise his name. And there's nobody like him. That's vow and prayer. Love the Father and the eternal God, we bless thee for our King, our great King, King of my life. I cry thee now. O Lord, we are thy subjects. Make us, Lord, thy loyal subjects, thy obedient subjects. So that we might ever glorify thee as our King. God save King Solomon, may cry. Long live the King. For we rejoice that our King lives in the power of an endless life. O Lord, keep our eyes on Christ today, the one who is greater than Solomon. Be with us now throughout this day. Keep us, Lord, and grant us now traveling mercy to our homes. Bless our times in our homes today. And be pleased, Lord, to return us to thy house this evening. We might learn more about our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who is
King of Glory.
Under the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, abide and remain with us now. And